news and more, including state-by-state reports on the nation's premier youth organization. This is FFA Today on Rural Radio 147.
Hello and welcome to this week's FFA Today. I'm your host, Janet Atkinson. And if you need a last-minute Christmas gift for FFA supporters or members, big and small, just head to shopffa.org. That's where you can get 25% off items for parents, grandparents, or children now through Sunday by using the promo code WINTER19 at checkout. That's WINTER19 at checkout. Now, for mugs to t-shirts, onesies, and more, just use code WINTER19 to save up to 25% on those last-minute gifts now through midnight on the 22nd. Well, to get things started, we travel to Central America today to hear how the FFA played into a couple's choice to leave the United States to help young agriculturalists in Honduras.
Our ambition with the Moses Project, which is the name of our farm, is to produce entrepreneurs in agriculture because that's their environment. I would call it a subsistence agricultural economy. And underemployment is 50%, unemployment is 27%. So we have 75% of the population or more that cannot make a livable wage, and they're in agriculture mainly as day laborers. But with an education, with seeing agriculture done on a scale, a commercial scale, we believe many of our young men will be entrepreneurs through agriculture. So that's our goal. It's a huge industry, and the majority of coffee in Honduras is produced by small producers, and it's a wide range of quality. Most of the smaller producers sell wholesale and don't really make much money. It's a hand-to-mouth existence. We actually have planted 60 acres of coffee ourselves. It takes 3 years for coffee plants to mature and begin producing, and this fall will be our first full harvest. We got started with the FFA through one of our supporters out of Alabama. He grew up participating in FFA, and then his wife is also a sponsor for a chapter there just north of Huntsville. And he, being a farmer himself, was really excited about what we're doing because he's all about creating leadership opportunities and training for young people through agriculture. And he suggested we talk with the Alabama FFA about a fundraiser using our coffee. The state organization will get $1 for every pound sold, and the local chapter gets $6. So it's a pretty good little fundraising opportunity.
Personally, to me, my life has meaning when I serve others. And I think that's true for anybody. It's something we focus on with children and young adults in Honduras, teaching them to serve, teaching them to put themselves in a lower position and not be so focused on me and what I need and what I want, but focused on others. And we believe in the community where we serve. If we can teach that value, it will make a difference, a big difference in that culture. So that's what we're focused on in pretty much all of the areas that we work in.
And you can learn more about Mission Upreach and Subida Coffee at subidacoffee.com. That's S-U-B-I-D-A coffee.com. And now to the Wolverine State. That's where the Michigan Farm Bureau recognizes this year's Young Farmer Excellence in Agriculture and Young Farmer Achievement Award winners, both FFA alumni. Let's meet Rich Baker and Joseph Ankley.
I'm Rich Baker from St. Joe County. My wife Cody and my daughter Zoe, we produce seed corn for Remington Hybrids. We also raise some commercial corn, soybeans. We have about 175 acres of hay, 3,000 head hog finishing floor, about 35 head of beef cattle that we also pasture and raise all their calves up. And besides that, we run a 30-acre orchard where we press our own cider and make donuts. We run three self-propelled sprayers covering quite a few acres, and our primary business is detasseling that seed corn. In 2012, I ran for the township trustee position, got elected, so I've been sitting on township board just as a trustee. I've been on the fire department since 2005. 2009, I became a medical first responder also on the fire department. Been a 4-H leader since the day I left the 4-H program. Served the role as assistant superintendent for a couple years. Farm Bureau came about early. When I was 18, current young farmer chair for our county was getting on the state young farmer committee. Our regional rep and my grandma cornered me one day at the farm and said, hey, would you be willing to serve in this role? I gave it my all, and it's been an extremely fun journey. The biggest challenge we're having right now is keeping qualified help around. Farming is obviously pretty seasonal occupation, fairly diversified with the hogs, with the cattle, with some trucking that we do and stuff in the winter to try to buy some of those guys times. But the value of the Young Farmer Program has moved my leadership ability from zero to probably 99%.
My name is Joe Ankley, and I'm from the Thumb of Michigan. I'm involved in both the Huron County Farm Bureau and Lapeer County Farm Bureau. Our family farm is in Lapeer County, and that's where I learned to love agriculture, and I'm still involved with our family farm.
But my full-time job is as an agri-science educator and FFA advisor in Huron County. Your connection with agriculture starts pretty young, and growing up on a farm, I knew it was something that I really enjoyed and wanted to continue to do in my life. I started off thinking I was going to be a veterinarian. I went to Michigan State to do that, but as with a lot of people, ended up changing my major to agri-science education and finished both degrees in ag ed and animal science, and decided to become an ag teacher. Most of our agricultural promotion activities we either do here on the farm, or I also do several agricultural promotion activities where I teach at North Huron Schools. We also do a Farm Fun Day where we have all K through 5 students come out. They enjoy a petting zoo. It coincides with our drive our tractor to school day. So we talk about the importance of agriculture to our area, and Huron County agriculture is number one. Back home on the farm, we do a lot to promote the dairy industry. We do tours. We actually just hosted a Dairy Odyssey program, which is sponsored by MSU Extension, a couple weekends ago, and we had about 20 people come out to the farm, learn about calf nutrition. I think it's important to be part of an advocacy organization, especially for me. Agriculture runs in my blood, and I really enjoy the industry. I teach the industry. I also live the industry. So being part of the group that basically is the voice for agriculture is really important to me, and that's why I've maintained my membership.
Congratulations to both of those gentlemen, and a big thanks for all they've done for agriculture in Michigan. Well, don't go anywhere. FFA chapters in the Peach State are teaming up to make Christmas a little brighter for those in need. Find out how next on FFA Today. Welcome back to the show. And now we hand things over to FFA Today contributor and host of the Off-Farm Income Podcast, Matt Breckwald, who introduces us to Emma Culpepper of the Wilcox County High School FFA in Rochelle, Georgia, whose chapter kickstarted a fun and colorful fundraiser to help give back around the holidays.
Joining me today is Emma Culpepper, and she is coming to us from Wilcox County High School, and she's going to be talking to us about a very unique and wonderful fundraiser that her FFA chapter is involved with for Christmas that I found online. Very, very cool. Emma is a sophomore, and she is serving as her chapter's sentinel. Emma, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
And how long have you been involved with the FFA?
3 years.
3 years. So does that mean you were able to begin in eighth grade?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And what made you join? Why did you want to be part of the organization?
Well, the officers at the time really encouraged me to join FFA because they said it would be fun and I would be able to meet new friends. So uh-huh. I was like, well, hey, I'll try something new.
Okay.
And I've loved it ever since then.
So did you know some of the officers, or was it like they came to your class and talked to you about the organization?
Well, see, our school is so small that everybody knows everybody in our school.
Okay.
So I knew our officers, and we were all like, they came to our classes a lot and spoke and helped us through a whole bunch of activities and stuff. And so they just kind of encouraged us.
Oh, great. Well, that's great. Now, you've been doing it for 3 years now. Well, really probably about 2.5, right? Because we're about halfway through your sophomore year. What have you learned? Like, is there anything about agriculture that is attractive to you now?
Forestry is a big thing, I guess, because uh-huh. I've taken a forestry class, and so I've learned more about that.
Uh-huh.
And I just kind of like the way that everything goes in forestry and how there's so many different jobs and how everybody is involved in a different way and nobody has the same job. It's just kind of cool.
All right. Well, that is great. Now, you decided to become an officer, so congratulations on being named your chapter sentinel. What made you want to do that?
Our advisor, Miss Tucker, she's like always been a big influence on me,
uh-huh.
and she I just thought it'd be fun to like be with her more and get to know everybody else that's in our officer team a little better. And it's just, it kind of gets me out of my comfort zone talking in front of people and stuff.
Well, good for you. A lot of people refuse to leave that comfort zone, but it helps you grow. So good for you for doing that. All right. Well, Emma, let's get to what I called for. You guys have a really interesting project going on for Christmas. Can you tell me all about it?
Yes, we did a hay bale competition, decorating competition.
Uh-huh.
It's for our Christmas for children. Like, we buy gifts for children from the money we make.
Okay.
For people in our, like, children in our community and at our school. And we raised $380 doing this. And that means we get to help buy for two kids in our community.
Okay.
And it's just a big impact on us because there's so many kids that don't have so much in our community mm-hmm. that we love to give back to our community and help. So it just, it warms our hearts to know that we can help a child in that way.
That is wonderful. Now, I have seen the pictures of the hay bales on Facebook and also in the newspaper article that I found, and it's a brilliant idea. Is this the first year that your chapter has done this, or has this been going on for some time?
This is the first year that our chapter has done it since I've been in FFA. Uh-huh. I don't think we've done it before, okay. But I'm not really sure.
Who thought this up?
Our advisor did.
Okay, what a great idea. So how does the competition work? How does a contestant compete in this competition?
Anybody or any club can compete. The hay bales were $40 a piece mm-hmm. or two for $60.
Okay.
And they can decorate it any way they can. The theme was Christmas, so we had different types of that.
Okay. And when we say hay bales, we're talking the large round bales.
Yes, sir. They were donated to us by a local farmer.
Oh, that is fantastic. So a farmer donated the round bales. And then where do the contestants come from? Are they members of the community? Are they people at your school? Where are they coming from?
They were different members of the community, like they were different groups of people.
Okay. And so then they purchased the hay bales, and
yes,
is that their entry fee into the competition, just the purchase of the bales, or do they have to pay a fee on top of that?
They just had to purchase the bales.
Okay. So that was their entry fee. They purchased the donated bale, and then some people, it looks like, painted them. Is that what most of the people did?
Yes, sir. They painted them, and some people wrapped different stuff around theirs and put stuff on top of them and stuff.
Okay. And so they're making things like snowmen or things like that out of these hay bales.
Yes, sir.
Very good. Now, so they do that, and then are they put on display all in the same place?
Yes, sir. They are right outside of our school where everybody can see them.
Okay. Awesome. So who moves them around, or do they decorate them right in place and they just stay where they were found?
They were decorated right where they were where they are in the pictures.
Okay.
So like the hay bales were placed in front of our school and they decorated them there.
So basically when somebody decided to enter, you pointed to a hay bale and said, "That's yours. Go ahead and decorate it."
Yes, sir. Our young farmer's teacher, he did the signs on the hay bales where whose hay bales went where.
Oh, okay. Now, so people paid to do this and they decorated them. And then have you chosen the winners yet, or is that still coming?
Yes, sir. We chose the winner.
All right.
It was the camper. Our elementary school camp teachers did the camper, so they won that.
Okay. So the camper. Describe the camper to everybody.
It was blue. The door was blue, and it was red and white, and it had like little lights over it, and it had a little wheel and had little flowers in front of it. It was like a little mini camper.
Okay. So when we say camper, we're not talking about a person going camping. We're talking an actual like camper that would go on the back of a pickup or something like that.
Yes, sir.
And I'm sitting here, I'm looking at your pictures right now. So you've got some where people have, they built a little frame around it, like with a nativity scene. The baby Jesus is in there. You've got one decorated mm-hmm. that looks like a Holstein cow or maybe a spotted pig. I can't quite tell.
It was a cow.
It was a cow. Okay. Very good. And then there's another funny one with, I don't know, a person with a red nose and their tongue hanging out.
It was a reindeer.
That's a reindeer. And then there's a red one with white spots and a hook on top. So is that a...
That was an ornament.
Oh, that's an ornament. Okay. Very good. Well, you got some creative people down there in Wilcox County. Did you have a personal favorite?
We'll see. Our FFA, like our chapter, we did the cow And I helped decorate the cow, so the cow was my favorite.
So you're biased. You have a bias. So how did you get the word out? How did people in the community know that they could come and they could compete, they could be artistic, and they could also be helping out a good cause at the same time?
Our middle school officers went out and told people about it. They got the word out and they spread the word around.
So the middle school officers did?
Yes, sir.
So this was a cooperative, like a joint venture between your high school chapter and your middle school chapter?
Yes, sir.
That's great. So now, I don't want you to mention any names or anything like that, but the money that you raised, does that go to another organization that provides gifts to children who might not receive one? Or do you pick out a family? How does that part of it work?
Well, see, the winner got $100 out of it.
Okay.
And then our chapter, we give to Christmas for Children, and we buy gifts for them.
Uh-huh. Okay. So the organization is called Christmas for Children or something to that nature?
Yes, sir.
Got it. Very cool. And do you know how many people, how many contestants you had?
There were 8 hay bales, so we had 8 different groups.
Okay. 8 contestants. Very cool. That is great. Did you consider it a success? Is this something you'll do again next Christmas?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Wonderful. Well, it sounds to me like a
tradition. Everybody had a lot of fun with it.
Good. So. Sounds like a tradition has been born at your chapter.
Oh, yes.
Well, this has been great. Emma, I want to ask you before we finish the interview, if there's another student out there in another chapter somewhere in the United States and they're looking for a way to help people out during Christmas, what would you say about your project? What would you say or what advice would you give them for getting this going?
To talk it over with your advisor and see if they like the idea. And then if they do, then go out and spread the word to the community so they can help give back to the community. Because it wasn't just our FFA chapter that's giving back. It was the community that helped us in the hay bale decorating competition. They helped give back too with the money they entered with for their hay bales. So have fun with it and just know in your heart that you're helping somebody in need.
Awesome. That is a great answer. Emma, Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for coming on today.
You're welcome.
For FFA Today, I'm Matt Breckwald.
And we want to wish a very Merry Christmas to Matt and, of course, to all of those great students and chapters in Georgia. Stay tuned. Learn how a chapter in the Bluegrass State is resurrecting an important piece of agricultural history. That's just ahead on Rural Radio 147. Well, thanks for tuning in this week. And in Kentucky, the Hopkins County Kentucky Central High School FFA agricultural class has restored a 1960s model Alice Chalmers no-till planter, similar to the one used in the first no-till crop in Kentucky back in 1961. The project was started as an off-the-cuff joke, but now the revived implement is displayed at the new University of Kentucky Grain and Forage Center of Excellence. The UK College of Agriculture, Food and Environment has the story.
All this started, I got a phone call from John Maddox. He told me that the University of Kentucky was having an unveiling for a no-till planter at the Princeton Research Farm where they're doing some work on a no-till facility, and that they had found a planter that was really close or really similar to the first planter that Mr. Young used in Herndon, Kentucky to start no-till farming with. And he asked me if our FFA chapter would be interested in doing a restoration project on that planter for the University of Kentucky.
Harry Young wanted a bigger planter than just what he had, yeah. And he had a single row he was trying to plant no-till with. So Harry Young got with Dad, and he said, "You talk to Alice. If they will make me a no-till planter, I will buy it immediately." And so Alice went to work on the 333 frame, and then they already had single units.
It was my planter, and it was in the tool shed. Well, we got it about, it's either 67 or 68.
So the students through this project, they're going to learn problem-solving skills such as how do pieces of this equipment come apart, how do they go back together. They're going to learn how to prep metal. They're going to learn how to properly paint. They're going to learn how to put things together that maybe have been pieced together over the years. How do we make it work in the long run? So basically, this is one big jigsaw puzzle or one large problem-solving skill that the students are going to be working on.
Today, I had to take out some bolts that some people I know broke off, and I had to tap through there and take a pair of channel locks and take them out.
hopefully tomorrow we'll have everything ready to go to start priming, and then we will take the seed boxes and paint them white, and then the rest of it will be orange, getting it ready to go like its original colors.
Once the paint dried, the group loaded the revived planter for the trip to Princeton. UK's Scott Peak directed the unloading and setup at the new Grain and Forage Center in time for the ribbon cutting. Dr. Chad Lee, the center's director.
Our FFA educator, Ben Previtt, I have not seen Ben yet, but Ben and the Hopkins County FFA crew did the actual restoration of the planter. So we had several different people involved in that process, and I think they did a fine job with it. You know, it's somewhat interesting. We're going to talk about state-of-the-art agriculture and the latest developments, and at the same time, we are recognizing an implement that's now a few years old, Commissioner Quarles, but represented innovation in this area and represented innovation at that time.
The resurrected planter attracted a lot of attention, helping to make the opening a huge success. Thanks to all who made this preservation of an early model Alice Chalmers planter, a vintage example of no-till's beginnings, and a visual reminder of how far we've come.
You know, the restoration of the corn planter started 18 months ago with an off-the-cuff joke about how nice it would be to have a restored no-till planter here. And I, too, just want to say a personal thank you, and also to Hopkins County FFA for a wonderful restoration job. How about a round of applause for what those kids did in the shop?
And elsewhere in Kentucky, a beloved FFA instructor is finally retiring. LEX 18 News asks him what he'll miss the most and where he's headed on his next adventure.
Orville Bennett has been here at Lee County High School his entire professional life, but he's decided it's time for his next adventure.
LEX 18's Claire Crouch traveled down to meet with him, and she has his story.
I have such good kids.
When you ask Orville Bennett what he'll miss most about teaching, he answers without hesitation.
Students.
It's a rare moment of seriousness for a man who is known for anything but.
And he's lovable, I guess.
After 40 years, the beloved FFA teacher at Lee County High School is hanging it up.
All of my friends that I started with, they've already retired, and they keep saying, "Why are you still teaching?"
Over the years, he's taught generations of families.
It's going to be different because he taught my dad. Taught my brother, taught my sister.
At one point, he lived on school grounds and even got married there, too.
I think everybody in the school knows who Mr. Bennett is. I'm positive everybody knows who he is.
His motto is agriculture is adventure, and he brings that to his students every day. Whether he's roasting a pig or hauling a palm tree into the school building.
We've got a palm tree.
For the students, Mr. Bennett makes school worthwhile. And for those returning next year, Lee County High won't be the same.
Just getting to see him, getting to see what he's going to do, what he's going to say.
But now, it's time for Bennett's next adventure. With his wife, he'll hopefully visit Alaska, his 50th state. But it's safe to say his love for students and the school will never be far from his heart.
This has just been my life right here. It's going to be hard to walk away.
Well, thanks again to LEX 18 News in Central Kentucky for sharing that story. Well, that does bring this week's show to a close. But if you have something that you'd like to share on the program or an idea for something that you'd like to learn more about, just let us know. You can send us an email at FFAtoday@FFA.org or give us a call, 855-RR on 147. That's 855-776-6147. Until next week, I'm Janet Atkinson with FFA Today, and Merry Christmas from all of us here at Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM.